Freeform's newest Marvel show poses some two biggest questions right now. Is how long can Tandy outrun that pesky Detective O'Reilly? And will Tyrone ever avenge his brother Billy? We're about to shed some light and some darkness on the Cloak and Dagger After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah!
Good choice, Carla.
Absolutely. I'm digging Cloak and Dagger's soundtrack right about now.
They have really good soundtrack.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk Cloak and Dagger, episode 1 and 2. 2-hour special premiere. Oh my gosh. First Light and Suicide Sprints. I am Ollie Drennan. I am a gamer, I am gay, and I'm so nerdy. I love Runaways. And it's funny, because Runaways is the first comic that actually introduced me to Cloak and Dagger. And I'm joined by this amazing, wonderful panel.
Hey guys, I'm your host, Carla Belchin. I am a huge Marvel fan. I don't really know a lot about Cloak and Dagger, but I'm super excited to learn everything there is about it.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Drew Jones, and you already know I'm a big DC fan, but Cloak and Dagger are my meat and potatoes. They got me in the comics, and so I'm so excited to be on this panel.
Yes, I love Marvel. I haven't been on too many. Was on Krypton. I know some of you guys are here, but I'm all about the writing and the production, so I'm excited to talk about that.
Oh my god, you guys, I'm loving this panel already.
I know.
We have an exciting show for you guys. We're going to talk about Tandy Bowen. We're going to talk about Tyrone Johnson, the two stars of the show. And we have a special segment, the comic origins. It's very important that we need to discuss that because that is vital information. Yeah. We're going to have some news for you guys. And we're also have a very, very special giveaway.
Ooh.
How are you going to win this giveaway? You have to stay tuned at the end and we'll let you know the deets. So, let's get into this. First initial thoughts, guys. Two episodes. Crazy.
So much to cover, not enough.
Absolutely.
Time.
I think. Okay, this is Spill great. It, girl. This is a lot to say because it's very early on.
Yeah.
But I think this is my favorite comic book show that's on TV right now. And that's wild because Black Lightning was insane, but I love how they chose to do it. Like, mm-hmm. I love how we see them get the powers. Like, it's not the same as the comics, but I like mm-hmm. how they spun it. And so I'm very into this.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it still does the whole social issues of current times because that's how Cloak and Dagger was introduced to us in the 80s. So I'm so on board with this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm hooked already. I'm kind of easily sold to things, but Carla saw me. This was different. I was like crying parts of it. I was mm-hmm. getting really teary eyed. Mm-hmm. It was misty there and smiling. And I'm just obsessed with the cast. I'm obsessed with what you were saying, like the different take on it and bringing social issues into the mix and really focusing on character development, which is what I love in shows.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, for me, Freeform is definitely one of my favorite networks that I watch pretty much almost every single show that Freeform does. And Cloak and Dagger, I was very interested in seeing how they were going to go about watching, like doing a Marvel show. And I think they're doing a phenomenal job. Just honestly, like they touch every single subject that you possibly can. And I really love the way that they're including these subjects that need to be talked about mm-hmm. in this show. And it's Marvel. And I love these characters. They're doing such a great job. I'm like super excited to
It's funny because like I'm the opposite of you. Like Freeform is not my shtick. Like I love the superhero genre, but I feel like this show is in the superhero genre, but it's not all about the powers.
Yeah.
It's about the social message. And like I was tearing up at some point and we're going to talk about it, but it feels like this is Freeform's first Marvel show, and I think we have New Warriors coming up next, which I'm super excited about, but it's cool that these are two characters that, like, are kind of obscure, not a lot of people know about Cloak and Dagger, but I feel like if you are a Marvel fan, you've run into them at some point. So I'm so excited to talk about this character, Tandy Bowen, for our first topic, who is portrayed by Olivia Holt. What do you guys think about Tandy?
In the beginning, I kind of was like, wait, I don't think I like Tandy. But that was probably because that wasn't really Tandy, I guess. That was mm-hmm. just something that she was portraying because she's like, oh, you know, I thought she was going to be the party scene because of the misfortunes that happened in her life. And in a way, she is doing things that I think are not right, but it to a certain extent, it makes sense. And I understand her storyline a little bit more now, mm-hmm. seeing what happened to her in the past. And then getting those little flashbacks of what happened, how I believe the name of the company is called Roxanne. Roxanne. And how they came in and they took literally everything that could have possibly been there. So I love how I really like how this episode, these two episodes kind of focused on setting a timeline for them and letting us know how they got to where they are today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this adaptation of Tandy. The, you know, comic adaptation of Tandy's mm-hmm. a little outdated. And I love that she's such a strong female force. I love that she kind of is in this gray area of not necessarily bad, but not necessarily like 100% good either. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see her walk that line through this season. And I thought this was like an amazing introduction to that character. Mm-hmm.
I was, like Carla was saying, worried in the beginning because I had heard such good things about the actors that were picked and the chemistry between the two. And when she was introduced, I was like, that kind of girl kind of turns me off. And then when I realized she was just playing him, I was like, yes, I love you. I really love you. And I feel like they both do a really good job, but speaking about her, of showing that she's fighting a lot of battles, but still being like a force in her own right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because I feel like they definitely spun the characters, the comic origins, because Tandy was the rich girl and Tyrone was kind of lower class, and they switched that completely. But it was cool because they still kind of stayed true to it, because Tandy, originally before the death of her father, it seemed like she had was like middle upper class.
Money.
Now not so much. I feel horrible for her father, the loss of her father, and that's something that these characters both have experienced. And it's going to be so fun to really like dive in and see them play with their powers, because Tandy is kind of like the mischievous character, but she has the powers of light. And then Tyrone, he's like a good guy, totally, and he has the powers of darkness. So it's like they're playing with these things, and it's going to be really cool to see how it affects them, their just disposition, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. So I want to talk about, what was the guy that she robbed name?
Ooh. Oh, the first one?
The tool.
Yeah. We find out he's a tool. I forgot
his
name.
He's a rapist.
Yeah. That whole scene. One, I was like, kudos to Freeform, because they're really going for it with this show. I feel like this is Freeform, like ever since it turned into Freeform, I have been enjoying watching them make their content more age, like, it's like they're growing with their viewers. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we've seen it with other shows where they're taking it, but I feel like Cloak and Dagger is really the first one that's, like, going there, like, hardcore. And so it was cool to see them kind of take that on. He's a tool. He's the worst. But obviously, we don't really know, like, what's going on there 100%. Like, I mean, like, she stabs him, obviously, with the dagger, but, like, we don't know where that's going to go.
He's in the ICU.
Yeah. He didn't die. So, like, if he wakes up, you know, Tandy's not, like, she's the prime suspect. She's going to get...
I mean, there's already a sketch of her out.
Yes, that girl... Bridget O'Reilly, the detective. I'm not liking you, girl.
Yes.
She's scaring me.
Yeah.
Oh,
Like she's good at her job, so I kind of enjoy that.
I appreciate that. I love a strong female character, but get away from my Tandy.
It was weird that she, like, wasn't talking for so long. I was like, what is this spin? Because I don't recall her. She's not, like, a Marvel character. So I was
she is, you're right.
I'm so sorry. She is. But, like, I don't know. She just... It's just
She talks in the comments.
She talks in the comments. That's why I'm kind of wondering, like, are you guys going to do... Because sometimes they blend characters together. Mm-hmm. So I'm, like, curious, like, are you guys going to... Because she has a lot of characteristics that aren't true to the character. And so I'm interested to see if, like...
Yeah. Because the actual...
They're doing a mesh of two characters together.
I'm really excited to see.
Because they're known to... Cool. I mean, not Marvel per se, but, like, a lot of comic book TV shows are known to mesh characters because... And, like, with Cloak and Dagger, there isn't a lot of content out there. So it's, like, they could, if they wanted to, kind of mesh them with whoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's definitely serving that antagonist. Absolutely. She's one of them.
I don't know.
But any more thoughts on Tandy? I just think she's a boss, okay?
I think...
Total boss.
I feel like I'm talking a lot.
So no, it's totally fine.
I like the... dynamic with her mom, obviously it's, like, not a good relationship, but I think because of her mom's addiction and because of, you know, the different things she's going through, mm-hmm. we're going to get to see, because in the comics, and we can talk, you know, we'll touch more on it mm-hmm. later, but in the comics, Tandy has the ability to help with addiction, and so yeah. I'm interested to see how that's going to play into her relationship with her mom.
Yes. And that's a good point. I completely forgot about that.
On that same note, when we, because we kind of talked about it when we were trying to figure out what exactly happens, especially with the both of them, because they're just figuring out that they have these powers. When she is touching her mom and then gets all those visions, it's, I wonder if it's like the comics where it's gonna, it also affects the person that you're having that moment
yeah.
with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I was most interested in.
Yeah, because her mom, when they came out of it, her mom seemed to have a little bit more clarity than, because her mom was, she very groggy lighter. Before. Yeah. yeah. And, like, on the flip side, we see with Tyrone and his mom, we kind of see an opposite effect. So,
yeah,
I'm interested to see how that, like,
goes. Yeah, because she's seeing, like, the hopes of, like, she saw the hopes of her mom, or just at least what her mom wanted in the past.
Yeah. yeah.
And so, and then Tyrone, I know we'll talk about Tyrone, but I feel like with Tyrone, that was, like, the mom's fears.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, my God, how is it? And it seemed like it affected Tyrone, too. So, I'm scared. I'm scared, mm-hmm. for sure. So, before we talk about Tyrone, we got something to talk about here.
Yes, you already know we love talking to you all on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you find us. We love chatting with you. But there's a really easy, simple way that you can chat with us, and that is through YouTube or through iTunes. So, all you have to do is like this video if you're watching us. Make sure to, you know, talk to us in the chat. We see you guys.
Yeah.
We love you guys. We love your all's commentary. But if you're not live with us right now, that's okay. We still read your comments too, so just leave one under mm-hmm. this video. And if you're a listener and not a viewer, that's okay. We're not judging you. You can just head over to iTunes, subscribe, give us 5 stars, because when you mm-hmm. give us 5 stars, it makes it easier for other people to find us, and then we can make this Cloak and Dagger family, like, really big and really dope. If you're in the comments, let us know if you're more of a Cloak or if you're more of a Dagger. Mm-hmm. And we'll have, like, Team Cloak, Team Ooh. Dagger.
Oh, what yes. are you guys, real quick? What do you guys think?
You don't know.
Oh, I don't know. You...
Really? I'm a dagger.
Honestly, wait, I want to be.
You guys said daggers?
Yes. Dagger was my favorite character, like, when I was younger, and I just I just feel like he has so much.
At you least mean Cloak.
Cloak. I'm sorry. Why am I saying
Dagger? You guys both said Cloak. That's why I was very confused.
I'm sorry. I'm having, it's been a long day. We're Cloak. I just love the depth of Cloak in the comics, and I see that they're going to do that. They're going to give us that justice in this show, and so I love Cloak.
I want to say...
Dagger, you cute too, though.
I want to say I'm Cloak, but
I'm totally a dagger.
I'm kind of a dagger, too. I'm a little rambunctious.
The chat
is
split, too. Everyone's saying Cloak or dagger. That's, like, the beauty of this. They're both going to be dope.
I love it. And it's okay. We're on the same side. We work in symbiosis, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We are balanced right now, you guys.
we've got
dagger, the light, the darkness.
We've got Zayas.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Okay. That was me being dark. Just kidding. We've got Zayas B. Lou in the chat is a dagger. We've got Itosin is a cloak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nas is team dagger. Ivan Soto is both.
But more dagger, honestly.
But more dagger, honestly.
Came back with the second comment.
Oh, I love it.
All right, dope.
All right, shout out to the chat. Thanks for tuning in live.
Yeah, seriously.
So it's time to talk about our boy, Tyrone Johnson, portrayed by Aubrey Johnson. Oh, wait, did I get that wrong? Tyrone Johnson.
Yeah.
Is it really Aubrey Johnson?
Yeah.
I think that's right. Oh, yeah. My God. Same
Aubrey
last name.
Joseph.
Aubrey Joseph. My bad. Thank you so much. Shout out to you, Anthony.
He
is Cloak. So what? Oh my gosh, she is just fangirling.
No. He's just I think he's exactly what I envisioned, and so I like could not. I mean, Olivia Holt is amazing as mm-hmm. Dagger. Aubrey Joseph is Cloak. You're never going to be able to convince me that anyone else could ever possibly play Cloak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His ability to be, like, a young... You can tell he's supposed to be a teenager dealing with emotions, but his ability to show those emotions that he's dealing with and deal with his mom and the loss of his brother and police brutality and the killing, like, all of that
yeah. mm-hmm.
in these 2 episodes was crazy.
Yeah.
The scenes where he was in is the ones where I got teary-eyed because I was like, dang, you are giving me everything.
And not even that, like, the character... they kind of flip this character a little bit from the comics, like we were talking about. And so he's supposed to be this middle class, you know, like young high school student basketball player.
Speech impediment.
Yeah, and he has a speech impediment. Yeah. He,
in the comics?
Yeah, in the comics,
he has a speech impediment. He is, because his brother is shot right in front of him, his parents obviously have, like, a lot of pressure on him because, like, and it speaks very true to the talk that, you know, black parents have to have with their kids. Like, you have to, even if you do everything right, you still have to be careful. And so you can see, like, Tyrone has all this weight on his shoulders, and even how he, like, from how he talks to how he carries himself is so, like, he's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like you can tell that he's doing everything as carefully and precise as possible. And it's crazy to watch Aubrey Joseph kind of like take the character from like this how I have to present myself to the world and watch his character kind of like change into something different when he's just around like his parents or just around other black people. Like it's, the switch is dope. He's amazing.
The flashback of him with his parents and speaking to the police officer, that was the police officer that shot Billy, right? That was the scene that got me emotional, and I didn't think it was going to get me that emotional. And I feel like I'm so happy that a Marvel show, is really taking the time to speak on this, because this is such a mainstream platform that audiences from all over can see and really understand this epidemic that should not be happening in 2018. But I just think he's doing a phenomenal job. I completely agree with you guys.
On that note, I did read that on the development of his character, they kind of gave both his role and Tandy's role kind of free range to put in the missing pieces of the characters. And he says that he is one of three, I think. So he kind of pulled from the experiences that were natural to him and his family, and I'm sure just being like a black man in America. So I agree with exactly what Drew's saying, that ability to bring that to life was crazy.
For me personally, I feel like this character, I'm really excited to see him grow in a way, because I think he is supposed to be this young character, and I feel like he's lost, and there's so many things that are weighing on him that right now I'm enjoying watching him grow. I think that's like, because from the beginning of the episode where he's like playing basketball and he's being pushed around, and then when he takes the first punch, I'm like, yes, I'm like, this is what I want you to evolve to. And then when we see him, like, show up at the party, and he shows up at the party, and it's like, oh, wow, it seems like he's never been at a party before. And I'm really excited to see him grow into being Cloak and to learn more about his traits and what everything his powers may have. So that's what I'm, like, extremely, like,
I agree.
To see. Yeah.
The chat's kind of going back and forth about like how this show is covering social issues. Just a fun fact about Cloak and Dagger, if you don't know the comics, the reason they were created was because it was Marvel, first of all, if you don't like social commentary, Marvel's not for you. Because Marvel characters were always a response to whatever was going on. Captain America was a response to Nazis. Like, Wonder Woman was feminism. X-Men.
Bigotry. Hello.
Exactly. Yeah.
Professor X, Malcolm X, Magneto was Martin Luther King.
Yeah. So, if you have an issue with, you know, shows talking about politics and social commentary, Marvel's not the show for, like, Marvel's not the realm for you. But Cloak and Dagger were put in the 80s, and it was during the time when, like, you know, crack was being heavily planted in black communities, and drugs in general were being heavily pushed, and Cloak and Dagger were kind of like Marvel's response to that. And so you can't have this show without having social commentary, because and without it tackling because they also tackled the issues of racism and feminism and whatnot. And so you can't have this show without it consistently tackling that, because that is the bread and butter of what Cloak and Dagger are.
And also I love that it also reinvents the stereotypes as well, going back to the whole issue of them like swapping their origins a little bit. Because it's so easy, like, for people to rely on those stereotypes. Oh, the black person is automatically going to be lower class, and the white girl, she is upper middle class. So that's just something that I really appreciate that they altered.
What I think is really interesting about, and you touched on it before, how, like, when he, you know, kind of like zoned in with his mom, she kind of had like this like overwhelming moment where she like kind of like exhausted, faded out. And we'll talk about more about like what powers they have based on the comics in our like comics book section or segment. Mm-hmm. But I'm very interested. I was like trying to figure out how they're gonna have their powers triggered, and it seems like his are triggered out of anger. And because he's such a
sadness.
Sadness. And so because he's such a
hers has been sadness too though.
Yeah.
And also danger a little bit, I guess.
I guess they have to be kind of similar but opposite at the same time.
When she crashed the car, and then she was
crying at dinner.
Yeah. And then when she was about to get raped.
Yeah.
So. And when she was emotional when she was dancing with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Liam. Yeah.
I know, it kind of reminded me of, I also covered The Gifted, and just like the X-Men in general, the X-Gene is, it releases itself under high moments of pressure, and so this was kind of similar in that sense. But like you were saying with the opioid addiction back then and the drugs being pushed, I thought it was cool that they put it kind of on the mom side, like they're still putting that, like the pill popping type mm-hmm. issue, which is huge in America, but in a like kind of what the chat is saying, that was more subtly done, which
yeah.
was
mm-hmm. yeah.
I'm interested how they're going to play the bad guys, if you will, because mm-hmm. obviously it looks like it's going to be
they each have their own, like,
they each have their own. I feel like it's going to eventually come to Roxxon Corporation, which Roxxon. Isn't the same. I'm wondering if that's going to be the parallel of who mm-hmm. the big bad was in the comics, and mm-hmm. I guess we'll have to wait to see. Mm-hmm. But the origin's really interesting because Tandy was in the crash with her dad, mm-hmm. and yeah. then
who worked for Roxxon,
yeah. and then Tyrone jumped in the water after his brother was shot, which that was heartbreaking. That entire mm-hmm. scene broke
and it was
my
beautiful
heart.
They incorporate the music, and just the cinematography was just like, oh, insane. Another emotional scene.
And just how they like reached out to each other and like grabbed one another, and then they wake up on the beach, like that whole mm-hmm. thing was crazy.
Ugh.
Not comic book at all, but I'm 1000% not mad at mm-hmm. it. Yeah. I wouldn't want them to stick to the comic book. Like
I like them kind of like utilizing it and kind of like not completely changing it, but kind of like, I don't know, just still kind of incorporate in a way where it's like, oh, Easter eggs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Because it makes it fun for viewers like Ollie and I, who have read the comics and stuff, because it's like we don't instantly know what's going to happen. And then mm-hmm. it's like, it's not fun when you don't know.
Yeah. If they stick to it completely, it's a little like, meh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nah. You have to change it a little bit to keep us on our toes.
But I'm wondering if like the drugs are in the, like, if Roxxon has like some drugs going on mm-hmm. or something. And like maybe that's what like.
Triggers their powers.
Well, isn't the cop with the scar, didn't he come out of the Roxxon building? And then he said he had some sort of, he said, I could have been hearing things. So correct me if I was wrong. But didn't he say he had like baby powder or something? What did he hit him with when he came out?
Cocaine.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's
okay.
How Carla is like the best human ever. She can flip anything into...
Okay.
The better version.
So I'm pretty sure that the guy with the scar came out of a Roxxon building.
I definitely think it's all tied. I think we're going to see it's all tied together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really interesting.
Being a much bigger thing.
Yeah, before we move on to the comic origins, which I'm so excited to talk about, I think another issue in this show is like a lot, it's going to have a lot to do with kids and teens growing up fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really. It's an important message that is so relevant today. I mean, with social media and just like you want to look older. And even with these characters' past, I mean, we have Tandy, whose father died and she has to deal with her mom. She's running away constantly, even from like the good from Liam, who like really just wants to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, she's running away from like her youth in a sense, I think. And I feel like with Tyrone, he had to deal with the loss of his brother, and he has to be like mature and proper. That's him growing up fast. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's hard, like, just, like, being a kid and not being able to enjoy your youth, for sure. Because they both suffered such great losses. So, shall we move on to our new segment?
Yeah.
Who wants to take it away? are we...
Oh, I'm so down. Sorry, okay. I was just like, I got really excited.
You're
and
a cloak and dagger expert.
I got,
girl.
Like, you're a cloak and... We're all cloak and dagger experts.
We will be.
So, I just wanted to... you know, give you all some tea about the mm-hmm. original Cloak and Dagger. So they originally appeared in the Spider-Man mm-hmm. comic in the 1980s. And basically in the comic, how they come to get their powers is they, Tandy's actually a rich girl, and mm-hmm. Tyrone sees his friend get shot.
Who is Billy. And they changed it.
Yeah, in the comics, Billy is his friend, not his older brother, and he gets shot. And so Tyrone like decides to run away, and so he sees Tandy, who's also at the same time running away.
Conveniently.
And he decides he's gonna like rob her, and she's actually getting robbed by someone else. Because she just doesn't have any luck.
And then he saves her. And then they actually like end up meeting like this group of people, and then this group of people is like, oh cool, we're like, you're good, like we're gonna give you food, shelter. Don't trust them. They actually get drugged, and these people who are tested on, they actually like, usually they'll die.
Yeah.
But Tandy and Tyrone, they ended up surviving, and they were granted these powers.
Which, okay, I get it now, because. Drew is amazing, and she wrote up like a document explaining these characters.
Because I'm a nerd,
and I was when I read this, and then the show started. I thought Billy was his friend, and I thought they were older. Like, I was literally trying to piece things together. I was like, I'm so focused. I'm so, like, confused right now. So you guys are, this is awesome, because now everything is clear and making sense.
See, that's, like, an example of an alteration that I enjoy. Like, we still have Billy, but they change it to his brother, and that actually helps Tyrone's character arc.
Yeah, I think it puts more of the weight on Tyrone. You understand the weight of the world being on Tyrone's shoulders a little bit more when it's his older brother, because you can understand why his parents are the way they are. And, like, I definitely feel like it ties it together better. I'm interested to see, because in the comics, basically, we find out eventually that their powers really have to do with this demon called Dysphora. I never knew how to pronounce his name, but he's actually a really bad dude. Fantastic Four deals with him. Captain America's had a run-in with him. Like, he's messed with a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see if... I don't think we're going to see it season one, but that would be a cool thing to maybe see.
Yeah. I want to see that, because I feel like a lot of Marvel shows... I love pretty much all the Marvel shows, except Inhumans. Sorry.
Facts.
But I feel like Marvel shows tend to ground their content a little bit, and I want them to just go for it. Go big.
Yeah.
Go big or go home. These are comics. Like, kind of use that material to your advantage.
That freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a comic book. Like, look at all that cool stuff you can do. Budget. Okay, I get it.
But these are good powers for budget.
Yeah.
I feel like they could really do it. Not that. It's not like explosions and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we get into their comic powers? Because we were talking about some of their powers didn't match up. Did you want to take either one particularly?
Well.
You want to take Dagger, since that's your girl?
Well, Dagger emits these daggers. But she also needs to feed Tyrone's darkness in order. But Tyrone, well. I don't want to steal.
Yeah, they're like they have to balance each other up. You can't have too much of the other, or else it's like a self implode type thing.
And Tyrone, he needs to also kind of like feed in a sense on these souls, because they were in the comics, they were merciless vigilantes.
Yeah,
they killed. But they ended up having to, like, you know, kind of see the error of their ways, and we see them in like Runaways, kind of doing good. And I'm hoping for a Runaways crossover.
I would love for that crossover.
So are they technically codependent on each other?
Absolutely, 5,000%. Like,
this,
I mean, there's been times in the comics where they've been separated, where like where Cloak has been completely overwhelmed by the darkness. So what's wild about Cloak is, especially how we're seeing Tyrone created in this show, is where he's like pretty like on the straight and narrow, but in the comics, he kind of struggles with not being too dark, but if, like, for instance, his power is he can overwhelm you with his darkness. And when you're in the darkness, there's hallucination.
It's icy cold.
Yeah. It's this overwhelming sense of, like, all your greatest fears at once. It's, like, supposed to be the worst. And Tandy's power is, you know, light, but at the same time, she can also kind of heal people from the effects of Tyrone.
So it's like, just the addiction you mentioned. It'll be really interesting if she heals her mother in this season.
So I feel like it's going to be interesting to see if, like, we see Tyrone kind of struggle with this whole, like, good and bad side. And it kind of seems like we're already seeing that, just with how he's, like, trying to get revenge for
her. By the end of the second episode.
Yeah.
And Tandy, like, it's funny because Tandy's, like, this mischievous girl character. And in the comics, she really is the one to start saying, like, listen, Cloak, we need to be better. We can't kill these people. If we're judge, jury, and executioner, does that make us better than the criminals? Like, so there's morals and there's ethics involved. So it's funny because it's also, like, black and white coming together to make this gray, like, this gray synopsis, kind of. So I don't know what they're going to do. I'm constantly on my toes with this show.
I hope they kind of change that angle of the powers of what you're saying, because they already have the writers and producers of the show have spoken about how they're taking a different angle with the newer issues as opposed to, like, the older stereotypes that were more applicable in the 80s. So I feel like now it would be updated. Like, he wouldn't be... He is more light than her, technically, in terms of, like, his upbringing and how he... I think he has a more trust in society than she does.
Yeah.
And that also...
Not in society. I'm saying, like, he has more... Like, he is more grounded right now. He has his parents who adore him, and he has... Like, he is in school right now. I'm not talking about outside society, obviously. That's a completely different story. But she's the one that's more unhinged.
See, I don't know about that. I feel like he's a ticking time bomb, because we see a lot of the racial undertones in the school. I mean, he's in a dominantly white school. We see a lot of the racial undertones that are kind of presented.
He got beat up by his team.
He gets beat up by his team. He has all this pressure from his parents, who, sure, love him, but also have what a lot of, you know, black parents in America have, this fear of, like, something bad happening to him, even if he does everything right. That's a lot of pressure. As someone who was once a black teen, it's a lot of pressure to, you know, have to do every single thing right. So it's like, I feel like he's almost a ticking time bomb, and he is going to struggle with that line of, like, what's even the point?
You know? I mean, like, I don't... I would hope that he, like, not in the older comics, I don't really think that he should be the one always relying on Dagger.
Well, they rely on each other. It's never one more than the other. Yeah. Like, there's a lot.
There's some takes in the comics where he is the one who really needs her.
But in the miniseries, when they first got their miniseries, I remember that Dagger at one point, she was just, like, so weak. She was so overwhelmed because she needed Cloak. And she was taken to the hospital, and I'm ready for that episode. I need that episode.
I would say I definitely feel like it's an equal pull. He needs her in a more, like, sentimental sense, but she's needed him more in, like, a literal physical life or death sense. And
it's so funny. Like, you just said it. I don't need to repeat it. I will say that I kind of, before we move on, I will kind of wish that they did implement him having kind of, like, a speech impediment, because that was so important in, like, his origin, because he's a black man who wasn't able to speak and save his friend Billy because of his speech impediment.
Yeah.
And I think Aubrey, he could have killed it. But I think in terms of, like, maybe just dialogue, that was a decision they cut. But anyway, is there anything else you guys want to say?
I'm also interested to see how they cover the pastor, just because in the comics he was a creep. In the comics he tries to, like, force himself on Tandy, and I'm really hoping that that's not... I mean, I feel like we're going to see that he's in a very gray area. It seems like in the beginning that he has a lot of wisdom because he's seen some stuff.
He's also preaching the, like, religion heavily, which is also, I feel like, in the comics, in Marvel renditions, they do a good job of questioning religion.
Well, I honestly hope that we do get to see that, because I think it's a topic that definitely needs to be kind of touched on.
Oh, for sure.
So I totally hope that that's something that we see him struggling with.
I'm so ready for this. So, Steph, you got some news for us.
Oh, yes.
Some Cloak and Dagger news.
Yes, we got to get great news, you guys. Okay, this is so exciting. Marvel just announced yesterday that the new Cloak and Dagger digital comic book miniseries is launched yesterday, and that's available for purchase, and they're going to be doing a different kind of take on the comic book. They've talked about Dennis Hopeless and artist David Messina are the creative team behind the new 6-issue Cloak and Dagger comic. So they're going to be taking a little bit different version of even what we're seeing. So let's go ahead and play the trailer.
Yeah, because Cloak and Dagger's they're a duo that's crafted. Has been constantly, like,
editor Devin Lewis.
Like, their origin keeps changing.
I love that her.
The outfit will be changing, you guys.
Yeah.
There was some controversy.
Oh, really?
Some nip slip possibilities in that leotard.
I was going to say.
Their origin.
I want Candy to have that.
I also want them in the old comics. They look a lot older than they are, and I'd like to see them look like their actual age. They are like 16.
Give her that Farrah Fawcett hair.
Yeah, they are like 16, 17 in the comics.
Dagger's got a new costume.
Ooh.
And I can't wait for fans to see it in action and see Cloak.
Whip that ponytail.
Does the Crescent Moon, is that supposed to be a scar that she gets eventually? Or how does the Crescent Moon come to be?
Absolutely beautiful.
It's kind of just like one of her trademarks. Yeah. That's what I never...
And they never explain it. It's just kind of like when she goes into like her dagger mode. It comes up. The cloak, which I like how they play the cloak in the show. Or so I think his brother's hoodie is going to be a big part of his cloak. With her, and like with him in the comics, the cloak also is...
Gosh, I just had like a vision. Sorry. Sorry, because... Can I interrupt for 2 seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know how when we were sitting there, I was like, and I saw, after we saw the scene where she takes, when she's the little girl and she takes the jacket and then she like puts it on and then we see it later on, I realized that the jacket that she keeps putting on is the the jacket that he was wearing when he was younger. So I can kind of tell that she's already feeding herself from like off of him.
And he has her ballet slipper from when he finds out the beach.
Okay, so beautiful.
You can continue with your dream. I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't really have. I do like that. There's a couple times where we see like when he has the black tarp around him because he like, you know, jumps out of it. Mm-hmm. I do like the imagery that we had there where it was like perfectly cloak shaped and everything.
I'm like, was he naked on the
top? Yeah. What are you doing?
All that's left for gossip is basically that, like Drew and we have touched on, that they did want to keep this kind of separate from Marvel Universe so that they can kind of create this new world for us. But other than Roxxon, we will be seeing about 12 or two dozen Easter eggs laid out throughout the season. Ooh. So let's keep like writing those in the comments after this and keeping track of those, because those are always fun and it brings us in a little bit together.
I'm ready for
that. A little bit of fun news is during their audition, he only had 15 minutes to prep before it. And when they met during their chemistry read, it was so good that they were both crying during it and they instantly got the roles. So that's why we see is what we see.
I mean, even in that first episode when we saw Aubrey and Olivia together, I was like, yes, this is Cloak and Dagger. Yeah. Like, I can feel the chemistry that they felt from them during the audition process.
And I love that they only gave us, like, a taste of that chemistry. Because I like that we got to see them set up as two separate characters.
Definitely.
That was very smart on their behalf.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because, like, I know they were, like, considered, like, mutants at one point, but then they changed it because Marvel doesn't like mutants anymore. I love mutants. I love
my X-Men. I don't think, they can't count
it. They turned it into, like, mutates, so now they're considered mutates.
Yeah, because they're not technically mutants, because mutants is a genetic thing, and with them, with it being, like, now a demon, like, that's not necessarily genetics, and then also with it being drug-induced.
Ooh? Oh. Yes, 90s theme. Yes, where's my Storm? Where's my Beast? Where's my Jubilee? Sorry, I just had to get my X-Men Saturday morning cartoon.
I was going to say, this makes me want to watch the cartoons really bad. But yeah, I wouldn't count them as mutants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus, like, they just get such a bad rap these days.
We got mad love for mutants, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, was that all for the news?
Oh, yeah.
Shall we get to a quick fan
shout-out? Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you guys have been so awesome right now. G1X Rider 13, you rock. Andrew Gibbons, Ivan Soto, as always, Nas. Chris Moe, haven't seen you before. We like you here. Nicholas Kelly, you rock. ZSB Lou, 1-2-Sen. I saw Billie Jean Girl, Nicholas Kelly.
Yes, for the ladies.
I'm sorry, I can't get to you guys all, but you guys have been lit in there. Yes. You guys better be coming back because we
Star
need
Drew.
This energy.
Star Drew made a comment about Steph and I's sass.
Oh, yeah.
And we need you to elaborate on that.
Thank you guys so much. And if you're not joining in live, just like Drew said, continue talking with us on iTunes. Tweet us. Comment in the comment section. We love talking with you guys off air as well. You don't have to be live. But we have a quick giveaway before we leave. We got to talk about this giveaway, y'all.
Yes.
All right. So Drew is showing you this amazing Cloak and Dagger collection 1-4. This is their first miniseries. This was 1983, guys. And something very special. We might have some special guests this season on the Cloak and Dagger after show. and those guests are going to sign this graphic novel. Okay? And so if you want to get this graphic novel, all you got to do is go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, tell us how much you love us, because we love you. And at the end of the season, we're going to do a live drawing with everyone that left us a 5-star review on iTunes. We're going to draw a name out of a hat, probably, or a cloak, you know? And we're going to do it live, like I said, pull out that name. That winner is going to send us their information. We're going to send you this autographed graphic novel for free, for just being amazing. Yes! So guys, leave us that review. We love you guys, and just keep talking with us.
Yeah, guys, this literally has all the tea. This is the Cloak and Daggers 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
So
get it. This is their first mini series.
Yeah, besides the introduction with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is their first on their own.
Ooh, any closing thoughts, y'all? We have a lot to cover, and I feel like we're missing stuff, but. You know,
let's do those some last minute predictions.
I will say really quick, in case you were wondering, Marvel fans, Cloak and Dagger were on the side of Captain America in the first Civil War. You're welcome.
I just have to get that off my chest.
I guess, same.
I guess that's one good way to get into predictions.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's get into those predictions. Here we go. You're after Buzz TV. Predictions. All right, let's start. Who wants to start? Spill those predictions, y'all.
Okay, I don't have too many because I'm more of the surprise as I go type, but I think that we will continue to see them bonded by whatever this bond that they can't describe. They keep the final scene, we see them coming back together once again. I hope that they pick up where they ended at the car crash, because we saw a little bit of a promo, but I'm even more confused. So I'm just hoping to see more of the. I love when they delve into the powers and just kind of them getting to know themselves together and with their powers individually.
Real quick, I see a lot of people talking about being Android people, and this is discrimination. If you continue to comment in the YouTubes, we'll also throw you in the drawing, no fear.
Thank you for clearing that up, because we totally had that same thing with Broadways.
We love you too, Android users, even though I don't know why you're using those. My prediction is, so I know that they're probably not going to dive into the Dark Dimension until season 2. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing, and that's what a couple people in the chat are saying. So I don't think we're really going to see him lose too much of himself this season. Ooh. So I think this is really just going to be a coming together. We're going to see them kind of work on their powers. And I think the big bad really is going to be Roxxon. And I'm excited to see that. And I think I don't want them to be a romantic thing too quickly.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, let that marinate. This is a partnership. Yeah.
I want it to be a partnership for a long time. We didn't really have... It's not really forced down your throat or anything in the comics. And I like the platonic, like, mutual respect. But there's something about their first meeting that felt a little, like... like, and special. And it's Freeform.
Yeah.
And they're, like, the kings of shipping. And so I kind of want to just see them, like... be a partnership and not be in a romantic relationship. I'm not opposed to it down the road.
Yeah.
But just not for at least this season.
Yeah. I mean, we got Liam, her man.
Yeah,
Liam.
I like Liam.
You guys, and bye, Liam, he's done.
I don't know.
That's my prediction.
Seth does not ship Liam with Kennedy.
But, you know, he's got his little girl too, so.
That's true. I forgot her name.
She cute or whatever.
It was like, I forgot her name.
Yeah, she is cute.
I do too. We should get her in here and talk to her about it.
Yeah, definitely.
What about your prediction?
My prediction is she's not going to help Liam to get out of jail.
Mm.
I really don't think she's going to go back and help him, because now she's got this new identity. Or maybe she will. Maybe she will find it, since she does get stopped on her way to leaving. Maybe she does come back and help Liam, but I have a feeling that she's not going to. And then, I guess this is not really a prediction. Mm. It's more of something that I'm really excited to see. I'm really excited to see how they're, like, them finding out how their powers work. So, and getting a little bit more in depth on how their powers, like, what their powers actually do. Because in the beginning, I was a little bit confused with, like, what he was doing and what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get into it and see.
Like, yeah, okay, I was confused as well. I was kind of like, whoa, wait, teleporting. Whoa, yeah. Wait, what's going on? So, yeah, I'm really interested in, I can't even talk right now. I'm really interested in this new live action form and seeing their powers, like, really manifest as they
yeah,
as they
definitely, get because, used to them. You know, when we first started, most of their visions are, like, past, or it's what they desire, or it's the future, or can they
it's like an altered reality.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah. Well, it's like hallucinations, because Cloak has the ability to give people hallucinations if they're in his, like, mm-hmm. if they're in, like, the dark dimension too long.
Okay.
One thing, just before you give your prediction, before I forget, in the chat, they really want to talk about Bridget O'Reilly, which is the detective that we see.
Yeah.
I guess that would be a part of my prediction. I have no idea if she's going to be good or bad, because she had, like we said, she had very little dialogue. She was pretty aggressive on that. Yeah. Handcuffing Noah. So I'm not sure her take on
her
comic book character.
Well, I will say that I think that she is going to actually become maybe not an ally, but someone to help them out.
Like their Gordon?
Really?
A little bit. Yeah, definitely. She's gonna cause some trouble for sure in the beginning. But I kind of think maybe the little bit of opposite with Drew. I feel like Ty, he's gonna get some darkness into him. I don't want that to happen. But I feel like they're teasing it in the second episode. Maybe not a whole lot, but maybe down the road, something bad's gonna happen. And I think Tandy's gonna be the one to really draw him in. And maybe in the second season, he's gonna have to help her. I have no clue what's happening.
Yeah.
I have no clue what they're gonna do in this interpretation. But, I don't know. It's going to be really fun to see how they play with the morals of these characters, for sure.
Oh, she is Mayhem in the comics.
Yes.
With a vigil. I didn't know that. Yeah. I was gonna- You guys.
I love that.
If you don't know comics, then that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not spoilers.
I love that name.
Drew knows they call me Mayhem at home. Because I just screw shit. Crap up.
If you don't know comics, you're not alone. I don't know comics either, but I'm a huge fan, so you could totally join me.
Well, I just also in predictions, I don't think they're gonna team up just yet. I think it's gonna be take a while for them to really actually meet up.
Yeah, and that's why I'm mad at that.
Neither am I, because I feel like they really need to build up on themselves. Because before we started the show, we were talking about how, you know, the MCU has done such a great job of that with their solo films, and they're having like their solo episodes their solo scenes to really build up their characters and have fans get to really know them for sure before they get the whole ensemble, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We have to say goodbye now because we're running short on time. So I don't want to say goodbye.
We have weeks together. I'm so excited.
I am very excited.
It's not the end.
Keep the conversation going. We will say goodbye. But plug yourselves, my wonderful panel.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so excited to be covering the show and to be like build a family, Cloak and Dagger family with you guys. Please keep tuning in. I'm your host, Carla Beltran. You can follow me on Instagram at @IamCarlaBeltran or on Twitter at Carla Beltran with an R at the end.
And I'm Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ. And guys, if you're going to Comic-Con San Diego, we're going to be there. Ooh. So come say hi to us.
Yes.
It's going to be fun.
Oh my God.
I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. And you guys, check out that Cloak and Dagger Snapchat filter.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Like 20 times.
We just discovered that. Oh my gosh. If there is a Cloak and Dagger panel at San Diego Comic-Con, we need to be there.
We will be
there.
I am your host, Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. You can check me out on Drag Race After Show and After Buzz TV on Sundays as well, and the horror movie news on the Popcorn Talk Network on Tuesdays as well.
Woo! We back.
Woohoo! And shout out to our awesome engineer, Anthony.
Yes!
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Till then.
Bye. Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.